The sermon this morning is coming from Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to move back to verse 18, and I'll read verses 18 and 19 of chapter 19 for a little context. This is the church assembled here to receive the commandments of God. So Exodus chapter 19, starting with verse 18, and I'll tell you when I move down to chapter 20. Now, Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down, warn the people, so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, or else the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to the mountain, for you warned us, saying, 'Set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, or he will break forth upon them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them. Then the Lord spoke all these words, saying, 'I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.'" Now move with me to verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you that you are so clear. We ask, Father, now that you would help us to throw off every vain speculation that we have constructed. We help us now, Father, to conform our thinking to truth, to reality. All the justifications that we have brought together and now we cling to in our minds for the things that we would do on your day. Help us now to throw them off. And we ask, God, that you would be glorified as we look at your commands and we love them to do what you have told us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keep Christ in Christmas is a slogan that we often see around the holiday or holy day. We have this idea that there's this thing that is supposed to be so precious and that we cling to. Keep Christ in Christmas, many people say. We have this idea continuously brought before us that there's this thing that's supposed to be good and beautiful and about the Lord, and you would throw it off? I heard a story recently at Geneva College. A teacher was writing on the chalkboard, and they wrote Xmas. And if you were writing it in the form of a comic book, you would write, "Gasp, choke," is how the students responded. X? X, you would put? X, you would say, rather than Christ? Well, if we would respond so violently, or the culture would respond so violently to Christ being removed from Christmas or ignored in Christmas, a holiday that God has not commanded us to celebrate, how much more so, or even in place of that zeal, should you be zealous for the Lord's day? How much more eager should you be to embrace God's command brought to you, something established for you from the foundation of the world with the full authority and power of Christ? So one of your membership vows is, do you promise to keep the Lord's Day? Do you promise to keep the Lord's Day? And all of you who are members or who aspire to be members of this church or Reformed Presbyterian Church stood here before God and before the great assembly and said, yes, I promise to keep the Lord's Day. So today, I call you to your oath. I call you to your vows. I call upon you to put your heart, your very heart, into the Sabbath. The Christian Sabbath. The Lord's Day that is His. First, as we consider this, look with me at Exodus 19, verse 16. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning, flashes and thick clouds upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. I'm calling upon you now to marvel at the weight of God's command. People have joked and said, they ain't the 10 suggestions, but they are the 10 commandments. Coming with full weight, coming with full authority. Many of us recently have been close to electrical storms, haven't we? Many of us recently have seen the flashes. Many of us recently have heard the booms. Many of us have felt our walls shake as peals of thunder fill the air. This is the authority that the commandments of God come with. The commandments of God come from the Creator. How much should you listen to them? The commandments of God come from your Savior. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. The commandments of God come from the judge. How much should you listen to them and embrace them? The voice of the Creator calls out, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. You see, the Word of God and these commands are the very picture of holiness. The very picture of holiness. Now, many of us are afraid to be called legalists. Afraid to be called legalists. No, no, if you keep that, you're a legalist. One of the greatest blessings in my time at seminary was Dr. Gamble addressing this issue. At that time, someone said, isn't that legalism? Aren't you being a legalist? And he said, let's define our terms. He said, if you mean by that a legalist, someone who looks at what God says and tries to conform his life to that because of his thankfulness for his salvation, then call me a legalist. Call me a legalist if you mean I want to love and obey God according to His Word. Call me a legalist. See, it's not legalism to try to obey God according to what He has said. Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, we could sit and we can discuss why it's the first day of the week now. We can do that if you'd like to. We can sit and we can work through all of these issues. But I question you, are the Ten Commandments undone? Are they undone? Do we throw them out? No. What was revealed to us with peals of thunder stand. They stand now and they will continue to stand. So as we look and see this as the perfection of what God calls us to, we must stand by it and see the full weight of it. Next, I'm going to call upon you to embrace the transition from the older covenant to the newer covenant. If you're dealing with one of the children's bulletins there, this move isn't on there. But there was a shift from the seventh day of the week to the first day. And if you're interested in this and you're a note taker, get ready. Acts 20, verse 7. And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them. 1 Corinthians 16, 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you put aside and save as he may prosper. And we have the concept in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, the concept that there is a day that belongs to the Lord. Revelation 1, 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. After Christ came, after Christ was crucified, after Christ was resurrected, there was a day that was called the Lord's. His. A day that belongs to Him. Not yours. Not mine. You get six. He says, one is mine. Give it to Him. Now, the idea that this was part of the ceremonial system, it wasn't. The ceremonial system, what I'm talking about here, we had these priests and we had Levites. And these guys did all these ceremonies that simply pointed forward to Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, these ceremonies were done. We don't open up goat throats anymore. That's over. That sacrifice was fulfilled. But was this part of that? Was the Sabbath that? Was the Sabbath this thing that's been thrown out and undone? The answer is no. We look and we can look in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done and rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all His work. We also see that keeping the Sabbath was given even before the ceremonial law was established or the Ten Commandments was given. In Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 and 23, before any of it. Before any of it. This is real. This is what God has revealed with peals of thunder and lightning. This is what God had established. Now, if you're in your children's bulletin, now we're back on. Move number two. Recognize the importance of the Sabbath as a part of everything's foundation. Genesis 2, 2 and 3 again. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. So get this idea. God makes everything in the span of 6 days, and we still have a seven-day week, don't we? We still have this seven-day week where this is the structure that God has established, and we see here that a day of rest, a day blessed, a day belonging to God is in the foundation of the very fabric of our world. Everything is connected to the Sabbath. The foundations of everything is connected to the Sabbath. Everything you see, everything that is, even the air that you breathe, is touched by the Sabbath. Sabbath is a part of the weekly plan for the whole world. And we need to embrace the Sabbath as a blessing. I wonder how many of you have ever played pick-up sticks. get these sticks and you put them all together and you let go and they all fall. And as you play, you take turns and you work on pulling one stick out at a time and try not to move anything else. Sabbath is on the bottom of that pile. It's that stick that you grab and everything falls apart. You try to remove it. You try to undo it. And you are the one that's undone. This is meant to be. It is commanded to be. It is a part of the very fabric of everything that we see and know. Don't mess with the foundation of the world. Don't mess with the Sabbath. Next, look with me at Exodus 20, verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is the command to keep the day holy. That is, to keep it set apart. Holy has this idea of being removed. Set apart. Something for a special purpose. The command isn't remember the Sabbath day by going to church. That's not the command. But the command is keep it holy. The command is keep it set apart. This entire day set apart. You can't come and just sit and warm the pew and then leave and I did my Sabbath. But it is a day. A day set apart is the command. Now, what does this look like? Yeah, worship is a big part of this. You are commanded to worship. You are commanded not to forsake the assembling together as some are in the habit of doing. Hebrews 10:25. That is a command. You are to be here according to God's word. But that's not the end of it. So how do we set it apart? How do we make it special? Well, one of the key ways that we do this, we find in Nehemiah 13:16 through 18. If you're a note taker, you want that. Nehemiah 13:16 through 18. Now we see people, heathens are coming into the land in the midst of God's people. And this is what's happening. Also, men of Tyre were living there who imported fish and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah. This is the church. They're selling them to the church on the Sabbath, even in Jerusalem. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing you are doing? By profaning the Sabbath day." Get this. This is profaning something holy. What they're doing here, buying and selling on the Lord's day, is profaning something holy. Take a moment and try to grasp the full weight of that. The full weight of profaning something holy. By profaning the Sabbath day. Did not your fathers do the same? So that our God brought on us and on the city all this trouble. Yet you are adding to the wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. What do you think the judgment of God would look like on a nation for profaning the Sabbath? Do you think it would look like unemployment? Do you think it would look like people being given over to their own desires? Do you think it would look like an economy falling apart as they seek after wealth on his day? What are we seeing? What are we seeing in our own nation? It looks like the judgment of God on a people who are profaning what is holy. We must set the Sabbath apart as holy, as God has commanded. This was your vow. before God and before the assembly, I will keep the Sabbath day. So commit your heart to rest and worship and service on the Lord's day. And I want to take this idea again. I've mentioned this before as I've worked with people who are trying to plan their weddings. And they get frustrated and it gets confusing as they have this thing here that they want to happen. They want to glorify God in the midst of this thing. They want to show people that they're making a vow to God here, to model Christ to the wife, for the Christ to model the church. And then but all these other things start getting piled on. Well, we should have this, and we should have this, and all these boom, 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 boom. And eventually you have this thing that's not even recognizable anymore for the original intent. What needs to be done is there's all these things that need to be scraped away and moved away. All these things that are covering up what it's supposed to be. Our Sabbath is in need of that. Is this at the center of your Lord's day? Glorifying Him. Worshiping Him. Resting. Doing good. If not, throw it off. If not, throw it out. And we'll face the same thing in worship. The things that are added to worship, is it really adding to worship? That'll be another sermon. But set the Lord's Day apart as holy. Next, I'll just read Genesis 2:2-3 for you again. And on the Sabbath day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on that day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to rest? This is your day. This is your day. This is your day to tend to the things that really matter, the Word of God. This is your day to tend to the things that matter, works of love and mercy in the midst of the congregation and to the needy. Do you want this day? Do you want it? It's tragic, the human heart. How we rebel against anything that's forced on us, even if it's beautiful and good. Tragic. I'd have you imagine a 20-year-old, and you tell a 20-year-old, I want you to do your laundry and run the sweeper. And they think, gotta do the laundry and run the sweeper. But then you tell them, it's the Sabbath, don't do your laundry and don't run the sweeper over at Geneva. And they say, they won't let us do our laundry and run the sweeper. I hate it. I'm being oppressed. The Sabbath is not an oppression. The Sabbath is a blessing that's been given to you. This isn't a horrible thing. This isn't an ugly thing. This is God from the foundation of the earth saying, rest. He's saying, go work as hard as you can. Work as much as you can. And come rest. And come sit down with me. Come and sit under my word proclaimed. Come read my word. Come pray. Have fellowship with me. Assemble around the veil and know I'm on the other side. Is this an oppression? Is this something difficult? Is this something hard? No, it's just stop. Just God saying stop. Just stop and come here. Stop and come here. Rest with me. Rejoice with me. Partake of who I am. The Sabbath. The Sabbath. You should say it with a smile every time. You should say it without embarrassment or shame. Let them call you a legalist. If legalism is trying to abide by the Word of God because we love Christ and have been saved, let it be who you are. Make it who you are. Stand for this truth. And in the midst of this, we set the Lord's day up as the crown of our week. Whose day is it? Whose day is it? Is it yours? It's his, is it? The Steelers. Does it belong to the Steelers? If they make it to the Super Bowl, does it suddenly become their day? Does it become Super Bowl Sunday? Or is that just another thing thrown on top of the Sabbath to hide God's glory, to steal your rest, and to take away from what we are called to be? It's just another thing. Just another thing to steal God's glory. So we sit and we watch giants run into each other and carry a ball and cheer. Foolishness. Foolishness. What do you do on the Sabbath? Do you bow down to your black and gold God? Or do you love Christ? Do you take His command and embrace it? Do you love it and draw near to Him? Embrace it. Give your heart to the Sabbath. Next, remember that the Sabbath is at the heart of your great salvation. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it, for indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, He would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And the idea is this. Your salvation is a Sabbath. Your salvation, the Sabbath, the word can be translated as ceasing. A stopping. Stopping from your striving and working to accomplish your own salvation. This day of rest, is a picture of your salvation. You don't work to earn it. You never will. If you give everything you have trying to earn your salvation, you're going to go to hell. You can't earn it. It's grace. It's charity. And I will bruise your conscience, bruise your pride every opportunity I have to tell you, if you're a Christian, you took charity. Nothing else will save you but charity. I am saved by charity. I have stopped my working for my salvation, but I strive to love Him with His commands. Your salvation is pictured on this day. Make your heart love it. Make your heart strive to keep it. It was given with peals of thunder and lightning, and also given by the Savior who laid down His life to rescue you. His day. His day. Not yours. If my birthday falls on His day, it's still His. If they try to say it's Mother's Day, it's not. It's still His. I love my mommy. I do.
It's his day. It's his day. Let nothing overshadow it. Give your heart to it. His day. The Christian Sabbath. Pray with me. Our Father, forgive us. Forgive us our wickedness, having forsaken your commands, as you are worthy and holy and have every right to command anything. As you have told us to stop and rest, we have shaken our fists at you. And we plead for your forgiveness. And we plead for renewed hearts to give you your day. And may we be blessed as we sit at your feet. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.